Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I've been thinking about how it's kind of fun that we have bells in our podcast.
It's fun.
We use bells. And when do we use bells, Matt? When do we use the bell?
Oh, when you say your age, or when we want to get people
to sponsor listening. Us, listening and sponsoring
That's
us.
That's how it started. I listened to an old podcast, and I heard you say something like, "I'm going to get us bells, so we ring it when we want people to sponsor us." So if we've rang a bell for you, just remember us.
Remember us.
To sponsor us.
Remember us. Think about
I know,
us.
I do love bells. I actually. This leads us to our good day,
yes.
to my good day.
Okay, tell it.
Because my good day has to do with probably about a year ago when the bell started.
Okay.
You know, my son Fitz recently turned 7 years old. And you know, Fitz's birthday.
I can't believe it.
I know. Fitz's birthday is in the dead of winter in February. Mm-hmm. We went, this happened the first weekend in March. So this isn't like yesterday.
Okay.
But this happened like the first weekend in March was the time when we could do this. And he loves going to the Embassy Suites.
Embassy Suites, if you are listening.
This is when it started. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Embassy Suites is the OG please sponsor us when we were just a baby budding podcast. And I listened to an old one and we were talking about the Embassy Suites. But you know what's so great?
What?
I feel the same way. A year later, their consistency.
No change.
No change. Here's what I love about the Embassy Suites, and I've said it once and I'll say it again, is every room is a suite. Every room is a suite. You sleep in the back bedroom.
There's
a
living
room in the front. So my kids sleep on the pull-out couch in the front, and we have our own bedroom in the back.
And you do love that they serve a little breakfast.
Listen, don't get me started on the breakfast. The breakfast is legit. They will make you a fresh omelet while you stand there and wait.
And every single one of those omelet guys are nice.
Oh, it's wonderful. And the third thing, there's so many things I could say.
I can't believe that the Embassy Suite people don't actually double as Disney characters.
They could. They could. You know, here's the other thing. I love their atriums. They're these huge atriums that are just big. They have beautiful elevators. We sat up there and played cards and board games with our family. It was great. So Embassy Suites, I love you. 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 But that
and
was my
so
good day.
So do your kids.
Oh my goodness. My kids dream of Embassy Suites weekend February.
They are Embassy Suites ambassadors in training.
That's right.
Ambassadors in training.
Listen,
that's great.
Can we start a program with the Hilton?
That is so funny. Okay. My good day. My good day is actually more than a day.
Okay.
So we are in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
And the first week that I was here, my mentor Miriam came with me.
Yeah.
And
I love her. I love her.
She is just so great.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Oh, you're going with your friend." I said, "My friend happens to be 74. Yes, I am. She is my friend." And she, you know, one thing when I say about her being my mentor, she just laughs and says, "Oh, I'm not sure who's mentoring who." And she says things like that. But I also think it was what makes that relationship so special is she never makes me feel like the mentee.
Right.
She never makes me feel like I'm the underling and she's
she's superior.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We really have we've walked alongside each other in life for the last 15 years and she's really amazing. And just, you know, let me just tell you something. When you spend time with people, somebody just asked me this recently, like, what's your idea of a perfect day? And you can't say like a beach in Maui or whatever. And I said, well, actually, I said, the beach in Maui would not be my idea of a favorite day. And then he said, well, okay, then it can't be like the beaches of Fiji. I said, that wouldn't be my favorite day either.
Yeah.
My favorite day is just spending time with people I love and care about over a cup of coffee, over a good plate of food, with a book. Not in a hurry. Those are my favorite days. That's my idea of a favorite day.
Totally.
So, my favorite day. Yeah, my favorite day was actually a week.
That's awesome. Well, hey, today we're gonna dive into a topic. We had some people reach out and say, "Hey, can you talk about this?" You know, the whole premise of our podcast is These Are Good Days, and it's all about how to see the good every day.
And just an ordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, the good can be an extraordinary day too.
Totally.
And we
it
say
it can
that,
be the beach
right.
in Maui.
Well, right.
Or it can be the cup of frothy coffee and in Worcester,
yes,
Ohio.
Yes. And I feel like so often the ordinary is extraordinary. The ordinary is like the meat and the breath
totally.
And the honey and the beautiful part
wow.
of life
yeah.
is the ordinary.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, it can be the extraordinary too.
Absolutely.
It can be the incredible big moments as well.
Right.
But I think that sometimes we overlook the ordinary mm-hmm. being as extraordinary as mm-hmm. it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we reached out to podcast listeners. We actually did this, I think it was around Christmas, where we asked like, what do you want us to talk about in this next mm-hmm. year? And we actually mm-hmm. had like a brainstorming mm-hmm. session mm-hmm. where we wrote down a list of topics through this year that we want to cover. And this came from that list. And someone reached out to us and said, hey, I'd love to hear you guys share. How do you turn a bad day into a good one? What does it look like when you're having a bad day and you turn it into a good day? And so I did a little research because I knew we were going to talk about this one. But here's what I want to say first is there is a book that I love about this topic. It is called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Acor. And here's what I love about this is Sean, the premise of his book is that your outlook on life and your positivity and the way that you view the world is actually what puts you ahead of other people at work. And your family, that our circumstances don't drive that, you know, that our circumstances are really arbitrary compared to our outlook on life. And he would say that you can turn things around and it is a choice that you make every day. Here's some statistics that are interesting too. When you are a positive person, or you are looking with a positive outlook and you're trying to turn your day around, 31%, you are 31% more productive at work.
If you're positive.
At home. And with your family, if you are positive, if you're looking for the good in
your
day.
Okay.
Listen to this. This is fascinating to me. People that are viewed as optimistic or positive are 40% more likely to receive a promotion at work. Fascinating to me.
It's fascinating, but it also, if you think about it, it's not surprising.
Well, I think we tell ourselves, you know, we tell ourselves that the biggest, the best, the loudest, the most,
the person that
aggressive,
works the hardest,
that's the person that's going to be ahead. Mm-mm. But man, mm-mm. that's a really good statistic. Mm-mm. Here's another one is when you have a positive outlook on like life, or you're trying to look for the good, you are 3 times more creative.
Interesting.
Than if you are in a grumpy mood. And here's the last one in my percentages is when you have a more positive outlook on life, 23% of your health concerns go down. So the health concerns that you have, your health concerns go down by 23%. So it actually improves your physical health as well. So here's what I love about this is this isn't just saying that you're only going to be a pleasant person. You're just going to be a nice person. It actually means you're going to be a productive person. Mm-hmm. When you turn mm-hmm. your day around, that can be productive at home. Mm-hmm. That can mm-hmm. be productive in your relationships. Mm-hmm. That can be productive at work. Mm-hmm. But when you take this effort that we're going to talk about and you turn it around and you turn the days that feel hard or feel like you're trudging through mud and you turn them around, it actually does make you more productive and truthfully more enjoyable to be around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's part of the promotion thing too, is nobody wants to hang out with the grumps.
No.
You want people on your teams that are going to be positive or
listen, I would much rather be around someone who is cheerful and not quite as productive than somebody who is incredibly productive and a grump.
Right. Well, our friend Sarah Reith, she told me something recently. She was like, you can be kind and incompetent and I will get behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you are not kind and not incompetent.
And
not competent. Then like, we might need to part ways. So you can be a kind and incompetent person and people will give you grace and
yes,
they'll love you.
And
if you're incompetent and you're mean and grumpy and pessimistic and negative, ooh, that's a little hard to be around.
You know, this is a little story time. I just thought of this as we were talking about this. I was like, this conversation sounds a little familiar to something that I've heard. So my sister-in-law, several years ago, I want to say 2017, 2018, got colon rectal cancer. And it was a serious situation. She had to have a lot of her colon removed. You know, she will live her life with a colonoscopy. I don't know the term. It's a bag that you wear on the side of you. It's a big commitment. But you know, when you're facing your own mortality, you will make decisions like that if
absolutely,
you know, it's between living and that.
Right.
And she used to, and listen, I think there could have been people in her life and close to her that almost wanted to roll their eyes or they even wanted to cringe, because she would take a basket, like a bag or a basket, every time she went to chemo treatment with these little scrolls that she would spend time rolling up and tying a bow around, and they were encouragement. They were notes of encouragement. And it seemed, you know, when you were with her when she was passing it out, it seemed like, oh, this is, you know, you could feel cringy. Like, this is so corny. This is so, until you were really watching.
And it
was like, this is so special. This is so wonderful. This is what no one is doing for people that are sitting in a cancer waiting room.
Right.
She would go up to each person and she would say, hey, these are my scrolls. I print them out. I roll them up and tie the bow around. And it's just to encourage you. It's just to bring a smile to your face. Some of them are goofy. Some of them are inspirational. And she'd strike up these conversations and people would just light up. And so they started calling her the scroll lady. And she always took cards to play cards during her chemo treatment. And so, and people were happy to see her coming. I mean, was it a little corny? Maybe to some people, but did it bring joy and cheer? Absolutely. 100%. Especially to people who are in a position that are hungry for that, because you're facing scary things. So one day in chemo treatment, there was an older nurse there, maybe a little older than me, probably 60s. And I said, hey, I am curious. In your experience, she'd been there, I think, 27 years. In your experience, what do you say, what are some of the things that you've observed of people that do really well in this type setting or with these types of diagnosis? She said, well, people like your sister-in-law. She said, people that are positive people, people that come in here with a positive attitude. She said, we have somebody that comes in here that has to take public transit to get here, but always shows up positive, always shows up cheerful. And the positive, cheerful people will do better every time than the grumpy, despondent, sad people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah. I mean, that feels like it'll preach.
Absolutely.
I mean, and so, you know, I've never forgotten that, because, you know, some people might think my sister-in-law was silly for doing that or cringy or, you know, whatever. And some of the jokes and some of the inspirational stuff on the inside of those scrolls were, I mean, they were like dad jokes.
Yeah.
Some people would open them up and you would hear this little man, like little elderly like man, like chuckling.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there is a lesson in that. And there's an important part of being positive and looking at the positive and laughter and just good cheer when you are facing something hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think for us, when we look at the world around us and we look at our circumstances in life, it's easy to get down. I mean, it really is. But I think we have the opportunity every day to make the choice to have a good day. We really do. It really is within our control.
There's just things that I have to do when I'm having a bad day. I mean, I let myself feel it for a minute.
Listen,
Matt,
we got to feel it.
I let myself feel it. I let myself get, you know, a little bit grumpy.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know,
we can't deny That it feels good to be a little grumpy sometimes, right?
Does it
feel a little cathartic to you sometimes?
Yeah, and then I get tired of myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get tired of my own self.
Right.
So I dropped a question box about this during Pillow Talk. You know, I do Pillow Talk usually on Monday morning.
Pillow. We have rights to this song.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I haven't asked you. Do I have the rights to sing Pillow Talk?
Have you heard what Leanne said on Pillow Talk?
I love that song.
Okay, so... I love some of the things that people said when I ask, how do you turn a bad day into a good day? So AK Bogsy said,
all right, AK, hey, we see you.
Hey, we see you, AK. She said, worship music and a fountain drink.
I love that. Do
wonders for my heart. I love a fizzy pop.
Listen, McDonald's Diet Coke. McDonald's, if you are listening. Like McDonald's,
it's
give
so
me
true.
Diet Coke.
I love this. sunshine, Jesus time, call my mom, reset the house.
Oh, I like reset.
Reset the house. That's a good one. This is good. A good walk, a good podcast, a good book, a nap. And maybe some baked goods.
Who's that? Who is that? Can you say their name?
Mrs. Julie A. Wilson.
Julie Wilson, you are my people.
Yes.
Baked goods and naps. Sign me up. Listen, sometimes I do have to say this, and I'm telling on my wife a little bit. When we were dating, my wife gets the hangries. And when we were dating, I kept a little bag of pretzels in my car and I called them her hangry snacks.
Oh, that is
because
so
sometimes
funny.
You do just need a snack and a nap. Sometimes you do.
Oh, this is good. This is KZ and your 7. Reach out to a friend and get out what needs out. Mm. Then coffee and keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking.
You know we support that frothy coffee.
Control your controllables.
That is so good.
Jen Mary Brown.
That's
control
so good.
Control your controllables.
Listen, whatever's in your control, that's all you got.
Listen, a hot cup of tea on the couch under a blanket with a good book.
Mm.
Full love moon. It. Full moon tea. If you are listening.
We love full moon tea.
Listen, here's the last one. Take a drive. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just need to change up the scenery.
Yeah.
Take a drive. Clean something. You know, when I clean something, I do feel better.
Well, you feel like a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Just like it kind of resets the brain a little.
Yeah.
Take a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes take a shower.
That's a good one.
Listen, don't drive me around Amish country with Pitbull. You know what happens. I'll puke in your car.
For those of you that don't know, Matt had a little barfing session in my car not long ago, and it just forged our friendship.
That's right. Even further.
I'm like, listen, we are trauma bonded in more ways than one.
As if we haven't been through enough. Well, I did a little research because I think there is a method to the madness. Mm-hmm. I love the suggestions. Before I go into my stuff, what are some things that you do personally?
Well, I do like to vent it out with a friend.
Yeah.
Or with Daryl. And with Daryl, it really helps because Daryl is quiet the whole time that I'm venting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he usually says about 7 words. And for some reason, that just kind of diffuses me a little bit. It just kind of brings me down to, he'll say, you know, we have a friend, Dave D'Angelo, that always called D the finisher.
Yeah, he did.
He called him the finisher. And he just says a sentence or says a few words.
And
I'm like, oh, yeah. I also put on music, and usually it's praise music. I usually put on praise and worship music, and I will sing the lyrics out loud. Sometimes I will pray truths out loud. I'll say truths about myself out loud because I have to reset my thinking.
Yeah.
Because if I can't, I've got to move my thinking off of the circumstance and the negative, and I have to start thinking, I have to start telling myself, the story's got to change.
Yeah.
I have to start telling myself a different story. What else? We've said this before. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again on the podcast. Is what else could be true?
Right.
What else could be true about this situation?
Right.
Yes, it's bad, but what else could be true?
Right.
And that really helps me.
Listen, for me, music is one for me. I do love driving in my car. And depending on how I'm feeling, sometimes I just need it quiet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like quiet too.
True.
Sometimes it's music.
Sometimes I need a sandwich.
Sometimes I need a sandwich too. I also love a good nap. Now, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. people may not know this about us. We don't really talk about our nap life publicly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you are not a big napper.
You know,
I am a big napper.
You would think that I would love a nap.
You don't love naps.
No. Listen, if I'm napping, there's something going on. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I'm trying to think of something snappy. If I'm napping, something.
I'm snapping.
I don't have it.
Okay. If I take a nap.
You're sick.
Well, I'm either sick or I have ran and then I've hit a wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you know, you've been around when that mm-hmm. has happened, and I'll be like, I have to sleep. Mm-hmm. And it'll either be I sleep in the, well, when after we did our MCing gig together, mm-hmm. it was a Saturday night and I had ran all day. I had had a previous engagement to that during the day.
You're busy.
I was busy that day. And on Sunday, our Sundays are our Sabbath. Our Sundays are very laid back. I laid down on the couch and honestly, it wasn't even intended. I fell sound asleep for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, and this happens about twice a year, I have determined it's two or three times a year. It will be 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I'll look at Daryl and I'll say, I have to go to bed.
Yeah.
I have to go to bed right now. And I will sleep until the next morning at 7. I'll sleep like a full 12 hours because I have just, my body and my mind, everything just needs to rest.
That's good. I think that's good
for sometimes. But I'm really not.
You're not a napper.
I'm not a, what you would call
like a casual napper.
An average everyday napper.
Not a cat napper, not a casual napper.
No, I wouldn't nap once a week. No way.
Oh, I would.
Well, part of this, though, is season of life. You have little children in your house, and you have a full-time, like, what are your hours at work, by the way? Is it really 8 to 4, 7 to 4? You're out the door by 7.
We're out the door by 7.
Oh. So you are up early in the morning. I mean, you're up at 5:30. So you're up at 5:30. So if I text you at 6:30, you're like, what are you doing up?
And I usually am.
Yeah. It's usually a TV morning.
You're getting ready for TV.
Yeah. I'll call you I'll text you at 6 or 6:30. And you're like, TV morning, because I'm not getting up earlier than 7.
Yeah. You're
and
not.
No, I'm not. And so part of the napping for you is that you're running hard all week and you have a young family. So when it's time to rest, you can just nap.
Yeah, I do. This podcast has turned into Matt's naps. But I really did. I do have some things to share that I think are really good.
Do it.
For us to turn our day around, here's what I think. I have six things. This is like Pastor
Matt. Oh, no.
I have six things.
No.
I have six things to say. Here's the first one. Is pinpoint the problem.
Ooh.
What is it? Do you ever do this? My wife is so good at this. She'll be like, what are you actually anxious about?
Yeah, what is the problem?
You know, for me, I can walk into my home and our kids will be being loud. Our dog will be crazy. We'll be trying to get dinner on the table and I'll be like crawling out of my skin. But it honestly, 9 times out of 10 has nothing to do with anything that I just mentioned. It's usually something that happened at work, a conversation, a bill that maybe mm-hmm, came up mm-hmm, that I didn't mm-hmm, want to pay mm-hmm. or something like that. But I think sometimes we get in a funk and we don't actually figure out why we're upset. So what is it?
Yeah.
You know, and good. I think it's okay to tell people sometimes, you know, people don't have the right to everything in us and to know everything about
us. Right, right.
But I think for people that are close to you, for your spouse, for your friends, even acquaintances at work that you're comfortable with, I think it's okay to say why you're upset and say, I think we get in a weird default of being like, I'm just having a bad day. I'm just tired. I'm just bummed. When really that might not be it.
Instead of saying, you know, hey, that meeting that we had 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
When you said XYZ.
Right.
Really was upsetting to me. And I'm still trying to process that.
Right.
Whatever that thing is. And I think something happens when you are in your late 30s and onward that you get a little braver with sharing those kind of things. Something in our 20s and 30s, and for those of you listening there that are in your 20s and 30s, get braver earlier. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until you're later. Get braver earlier to say, hey, you know, what you said earlier really bothered me. And I feel like we need to talk about that a little bit.
Right.
Because then you won't get irritated when the dog's barking and the kids are screaming or you're trying to get supper on the table.
And I think when we don't actually take the time to pinpoint the problem, then everything bothers us. Mm-hmm. When really mm-hmm. it's just mm-hmm. one thing. I think
well,
too,
you
we,
know,
we
you know,
also, oh, sorry, go ahead.
It was me. Sorry. You know me. Sometimes, and I heard this, I've heard this saying, it's rarely the last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Absolutely.
It's all the straws.
Absolutely.
Piled up underneath it.
And I've heard something too in regards to like having a bad day is it's, you know, if somebody stole, I don't know how many minutes are in a day, but if somebody stole a dollar out of your bank account, would you just tell them to take the rest of the money too? And I think often we do that with our days. Mm. You know, if somebody takes something from us, a little moment in our day mm-hmm. that upsets us, often we throw the whole day away yeah, and say, this yeah, is just a yeah, bad day.
Right, right.
When really you just had a bad thing right, happen right, or something right, that frustrated
right,
you.
Right.
Okay, here's the next one is practicing gratitude. Mm. It Sean Acor actually hits this really hard. He said it's really, really hard for you to be stressed and grateful all at the same time. Mm. That when we're purposeful about being grateful and thankful for the things that we have, it's really hard to feel in the same moment mm. stress or frustration. Mm-hmm. And so practicing gratitude. You know, I think too, the urgency of our stress feels really urgent and having a bad day and getting in our feels, it can feel like really urgent or really like it's at the forefront of our mm-hmm. mind. But I think that when we practice gratitude and the mindfulness of that, it kind of slows our brain down.
Well, it shifts your thinking.
Absolutely. And I think it ignites a different part of our brain. It makes us kind of get out of that survival brain and really in that thriving, that right. calm, that right. strong, steady part of our brain. Here's the next one. And we've actually talked about this is take action. Do something different. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. here's what it is. Do something to act on it. We've actually talked about this before. It's make the dreaded call. Mm. You know, we talked about this in regards to the bills that sometimes pile up or when the dentist calls me and wants me to reschedule an appointment and we put it off and it's looming and we spend so much energy when really it takes 30
silly.
Seconds. It's just do it. And the other thing is when we take action, this reminds me of when people in your DMs said to clean something, it reminds me of this is when we take action, Sean Acor would say that your brain records that as a win. Mm, so here's what this looks like is let's say you're having a frustrating day. Let's say you're frustrated at work and you come home feeling like I really didn't accomplish everything that I accomplished. Mm. It might sound counterproductive, but if you unload the dishwasher or you do something productive in your house, straighten the pillows, you love making your bed. Doing those types yes. of things, it actually tricks our brain into saying, I did accomplish something.
I
did do something today.
It.
So even though work was frustrating, you can come home and accomplish stuff and it tricks your brain into saying, oh man, I've won today. Here's the next one is changing a routine in your life. So, you know, I think this is part of keeping your brain young is whatever routines you have going on in the morning, sometimes just change it up, let it like do something different. That might be walking, that might be listening to music. And also this is people do not minimize this, do not minimize breath work and breathing techniques. Mm-hmm. It is one of those things that I think sometimes until you do it, you think that is silly.
That's woo woo. Like, yeah. It's like that's woo woo.
But
no,
it truly does reset
yeah.
your nervous
yeah, it's
system.
True.
Here's number five, having realistic expectations.
Mm, that's good.
You know, I think sometimes for me anyway, I can only speak for myself. Sometimes I get overwhelmed when I think I have these million things to do. And then when I do a couple things, I get frustrated and it's like, but was that realistic? Did you really need to do that? Did
right,
you have to
right,
do all that
right.
stuff? So I think sometimes if you feel overwhelmed, list the thing that you've done already and just start chipping away
right,
at your
right,
list.
Right.
Listen, I don't want to like rescind some things I talked about the digital list, but you will notice in the last mm-hmm, few weeks, mm-hmm. I have been carrying a little pad of paper
yes,
with
there's
me.
There's paper lists in front of me
there's
right
paper
now.
Lists. And so I think sometimes chipping away at that list. And here's my last one truly is reflect on your bad days. If you come away from a day and say, that was a really bad day. Mm-hmm. Spend some time reflecting on it so good. That you don't end up there again. And here's what I mean by that. I think sometimes subconsciously in our habits and our routines in just what we do every day, I think we set ourselves up for failure because we constantly take in the same stimulus that frustrates us. So maybe you notice, man, I get kind of angry when I wake up first thing and look at Instagram. Why am I doing that? Or this
don't
person,
do it anymore. Do something different.
Or this person, when I have a conversation with them, man, I walk away feeling worse and not better. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you need to change some of those things. You know, honestly, the news can be a trigger for people. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to change where you get your news from, how often you consume things like news,
right?
Those kind of things. And so whatever that is, whatever you feel like is contributing to your bad day or is a stimulus in your bad day. So a stimulus would be, maybe there's loud noises are frustrating you and you're like, I need a little more peace in my day. Or maybe the opposite. My wife's actually the opposite. She likes to do three things at once and she feels more productive. She has music going and a show going and she's, you know, doing all the things. But what is it when you feel like you're in that funk? What do you think has contributed to it? And spend time reflecting on it. You know, I think at the end of the day for me is, and I guess this is kind of like my parting shot, is remember that the moments in our day are just that. Mm-hmm. The moments in our day are just moments.
Right.
They're not the entirety of our day. And I think so often, you know, we talk to our kids about this all the time where we'll have a great day. Like on this just happened to us recently. We had a great day. We spent all day at home on Saturday and we all just enjoyed each other. You know, we cooked together, we ate meals together. And then at like 4 o'clock, I think my son said, oh, I want to go on a walk with the dog. And my wife was in the middle of doing something. And we were like, oh, we're not going to go. We don't want to take the dog on a walk altogether right now. And he started crying. And we were like, Luca, listen, we've had an incredible day. And just because you're disappointed about this one moment or this one thing, don't let that throw away the incredible day that we've had.
And listen, you don't got to be 10 for that to happen.
That's right. It happens to me too.
You can just have one thing happen in your day and then you just want to say the whole day is bad. You know, I was thinking while you were talking about how, you know, bad days are really so much about perspective.
100%.
You know, I can be having a bad day and then you know, and we're not to compare our pain, our bad day. But I can hear something and I can say, you know what? Me worrying over this is a little silly. Mm-hmm. Like I can, this is manageable.
Right.
You know, we're all healthy. We have a warm home.
That's right.
You know, we have a car with gas in the tank.
Yeah.
You know, let's not get carried away here.
True.
Like this is okay.
It often comes down to perspective. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, perspective is a large part of it. Another thing I heard recently that I thought about when you were talking, and it was when you were saying if something happens that really upsets you. So something that might happen at work that someone might think, this is not a big deal to say this or to do this, but for you, it's a trigger. Mm-hmm. For you, it's really upsetting. To them, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
But to you, it's like, this upset me. I heard this recently and I thought, judging. I mean, I've never heard this.
I don't think I know what you're going to say.
No, you don't. The person who wrote this said, if there's something that's said or done that is triggering or upsetting to you, ask yourself, how old are you? Hmm. Meaning, how old is this feeling? How old are you? I just had something happen to me recently and I could apply it to that question. Something happened to me recently that felt very upsetting. If I ask myself, how old am I in this feeling? It's junior high. I'm in junior high.
Oh.
I'm in junior high and I'm feeling these feelings again. And then I can say, all right, now let's look at this and let's speak some truth into this situation. Yeah. So I think that's kind of a good question to ask. If there's something that happens to you that's upsetting, you can ask yourself, how old am I in this feeling?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's your, maybe you're 40 and maybe this feeling is 21 when you're in college and a professor has said something to you.
Right.
That stuck with you and that has made you feel horrible. And that thing that was said to you at 40, you're 21 again,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's being said to you mm-hmm. by a professor you respect, you know, and I think it's a good, it's just a good, to me, it was just a really good, it was like an eye opener.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. That's good. That's yeah. tapping into why am I really upset mm-hmm. about this? And how old am I? How mm-hmm. old is this? Like, how old am I in this feeling?
Right. That's good. That's a good word. Hey, well, before we go, you know what we want to do?
We want to talk about food. We want to talk about food.
Okay. Listen, we had something incredible from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market that we need to talk about. It is a chicken pot pie.
Let's talk about it.
They have a new product.
In the freezer section.
It's called Zook's.
Zook's.
Chicken pot pie. It is made by an Amish family.
It's so good.
It is so good. So it comes frozen in a pie box.
Okay, I wanted to ask you something.
Ask me.
I know I'm interrupting you, but I got to ask.
I'm used to it.
Okay.
That's why this works.
That pot pie, was Daryl and I ate that pot pie. We didn't eat the whole thing in one setting, but we ate that pot pie.
Well, we did.
Okay, I know you did.
There's five of
now,
us.
I want to know. That pot pie wasn't quite big enough for the five of you. You had to have had another accompaniment or bought a second pot pie. Which was it?
We had side dishes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's perfect for two or three, but for a family of four or five, you're going to need other side dishes like a tossed salad or whatever. But that pot pie.
It was good.
Was delicious.
It was
and
delicious.
The crust was buttery. I know. And so good.
So if you have an opportunity to get a Zook's chicken pot pie, I would love that for you.
Yes, I would too.
You need this experience. Yes, and if you do,
easy
we want to hear about it.
Easy supper.
Because we love hearing when you love our food.
Yes.
Hey, well, this is a great conversation. And here's my hope is if you have a bad day and maybe you have a Zook's chicken pot pie in the freezer and you say, you know what? I don't want to do the routine. I don't want to do all the normal things. I just want to make a chicken pot pie.
Do it.
It'll turn your day around.
Yes.
Might change your life.
Yes. I'm going to say it this time. Matt, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope that you see that
these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.